Amen. Welcome to Grace Community Church. I'm Pastor Brooks. I'll be bringing you the Word this morning as we're continuing our series in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And this morning is, we're still in Acts, but this morning is Vision Sunday. Now, technically we do a Vision Sunday about once every quarter, and on the calendar, whenever we have a month that has five Sundays. On the fifth Sunday, we do Vision Sunday. Now, some of you are pretty sharp, and you know today is not the fifth Sunday, right? So what am I talking about Vision Sunday? It just fit too well with the message. As I'm looking at the scriptures and what we were going to cover today, it's like, if you don't do a message on vision right now, you're an idiot and not qualified to give vision as a pastor at all. So I thought, well, Holy Spirit, I know I'm an idiot most times, but I'm not going to be one this morning. And so we're going to take a look at what it is that we are called to as a local congregation by way of looking what the early church was called to. The scripture that we looked at last week, how many of you were here last week? So you kind of have a understanding. Most of you, if you weren't here, we looked at Acts chapter 16, and Paul had a goal to fulfill the Great Commission, to be a part of the Great Commission, take the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Christ had commanded. That was his MO. That's what he was about. And so as an application, he wanted to take the gospel into Western Turkey. And the scripture said that the Holy Spirit prevented him, which is interesting. And then he said, well, let's go up to Mysia, which is north. And so he tried to go north, and it said the Spirit of Christ prevented him from preaching the gospel. And that's odd. But we learned last week that the reason was is that God had a different plan. Eventually, the gospel would go to that region, but he wanted Paul to take the gospel to Macedonia, which was Greece, Europe. And so the gospel had to go there first because that's what God wanted. Now, here's the scripture that we looked at. After two consecutive no, not here, no, not there, here's the vision that Paul had. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel. Heavenly Father, as we open up this scripture and we look at Acts chapter 16 through 20 and an overview of what Paul did as he went to bring the gospel to Greece, to Europe, Father, it's our desire that your Holy Spirit be our teacher this morning as we look at the book of Acts. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would teach us, not only helping us to understand the context of what you called Paul and his missionary team to, but what you call us to as a local body of believers here at Grace Community Church, and what you call us as individuals to as disciples. And Father, for those who are not yet in Christ, that you call them to yourself. Even this morning, I pray that you would draw people to yourself as Christ is proclaimed. We pray for wisdom, and we pray that Christ would be exalted this morning. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So here's what we want to know this morning. As you look at this passage, as we look at verse 9, we know that Paul couldn't get into Asia, couldn't get into Mysia. So he has this vision, and here's what the person from Macedonia says in this vision. Come help us. Now here's the question. What does it look like to help? What does it look like to help? That's the goal. That's what we're going to look at this morning. The goal is to answer that question, what does help look like today? And you should be sitting next to or on an envelope that says Vision Initiative Special Giving. If you're a visitor to Grace Community Church, we do not pass the plate most Sundays, with the exception of a Sunday that falls on a Vision Sunday, in which case we will pass the plate, and the offering will then go to one of these specific things here. I'm not going to go through and explain each of these. You can see one of them is a downtown church plant, building improvement repairs, new field staff, ministry partnerships with missionaries and so forth, training, equipping, biblical counseling, and also quarterly mission trips, which we take and encourage all of you to go on. So that will take place at the end of the service. We'll have a special offering, which which will coincide with the vision that you're going to hear shortly. But for immediately right now, our concern is, what does that mean? Come over and help us. Acts is, as I've said repeatedly, is a descriptive book. Luke is recording blow by blow where they went, what they did, who said what happened. Now, it's descriptive. It tells us what happened, but it doesn't tell us what their goals were necessarily. It doesn't tell us what their ministry strategy was necessarily. It just tells us where they went, what they did, what they said. Now, if you read Paul's letters to the churches that he preached the gospel to and the gospel, the Holy Spirit rose up, you will find very clearly stated objectives and clearly stated goals. And those translate in terms of like what we're called to here today. So essentially it breaks down to two things. Very quickly, Paul says to the church in Corinth, which is in Greece, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law, but under God and under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might save some. So Paul's goal is to help people come to Christ. They determined that they were to take the gospel into Macedonia to help people come to Christ. But that's not it. That's not it alone. There's more to it. It's not that Paul just wanted people get people saved and prevent them from going to hell and help them go to heaven. He also had a goal in that he wanted to see the gospel cause them to grow up in Christ and become mature. Here's what he says to the church in Colossae. He says, Him we proclaim, that is Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So what is Paul wrestling with? What's his goal for this church? What's he just laboring to see happen amongst the people in Colossae? That they come to Christ? Well, that's already happened. He's praying that those who have come to Christ would grow up in Christ. How many of you have toddlers? We have a lot of people that have toddlers. It's cute for the first 50 times when they throw the Cheerios on the floor, right? Okay, it's like, oh, that's funny. It's cute. It's not funny when they're 30, okay? When they're still sitting in the high chair, when they're still pooping their pants, metaphorically speaking, hopefully you understand this is a metaphor, when they're still wearing a bib and you're still wiping drool and everything off of their face and they're still living in your home as a 40-year-old, that's not cute anymore. And it's not cute spiritually either. It's not just that we come to Christ and are a part of his family. God wills and desires for us to grow up in the faith that we become mature and complete in Christ. How many of you have been through getting to know grace? That is, I don't want to call it a membership class. It's more of a process because it's more than one hoop that you have to jump through. But getting to know grace is the process by which we invite all of you to find out what we are about as a church so you can determine if you want to be a part of Grace Community Church. And if you haven't gone through that, I highly encourage you to do that. There will be one in the spring. But during that, you'll learn the three B's. There are three B's. The three B's are bring in, build up, and branch out. Bring in, build up, and branch out. Now, those are encompassed in the two verses that we just looked at. This is what Paul intends to do with the gospel, to help the Macedonians. And this is what we desire to do to help the North Libertians, or the Corvillians, or the Iowa Cityans, or the Cedar Rapidians, or the Kelownaites, or whatever. The Terracites, the Jebusites, or any other ites that live in the planet Earth. The goal is to take the gospel to all people everywhere that they might come to know Christ and that they might grow in Christ, to bring them into a relationship with Christ, to build them up in a relationship with Christ so that they might branch out and take that gospel to others who need Christ. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at that by following Paul around as he goes to help out the church, or not the church because the church doesn't exist yet in Macedonia, but the individuals who are in Macedonia. So first of all, bringing in. Paul goes to Philippi. That's the first place he goes. And we looked at that briefly last week. He goes to Philippi, and there is no synagogue there. There is no local assembly of Jewish believers, but there is a place where people gathered to pray. They would go down by the river, and they would pray. And so Paul and his ministry team, they went down by the river, and there's a bunch of women there washing their clothes. So they just engaged the women in conversation, and boom, Paul strikes up a conversation with a lady named Lydia, and she's a dealer in purple cloth, and she's a businesswoman. She's an entrepreneur, and she comes to Christ. She invites Paul and his ministry team to just basically camp out and stay with her in her home, and they do so. And then Paul gets arrested, and he leads the Philippian jailer and his whole family to Christ, and a number of people come to Christ in Philippi. Then they move on to Thessalonica. Paul enters the synagogue there, and he reasons from the scriptures daily that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, and a number of people in Thessalonica, they come to Christ. They start reaching their Gentile neighbors. Then they move on to Berea, and he reasons from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Many people in Berea start coming to Christ. Then he moves to Athens and speaks to a more intellectual university crowd. He reasons in the Areopagus or Mars Hill with the Greek philosophers that Christ is the unknown God in which they had set an altar up to. And he goes, let me reveal to you who that unknown God is. That is Jesus Christ, who created all things for himself. And he preached the resurrection, and they scoffed and they laughed. Listen to this seed picker talking about the resurrection. And it's Luke records in Acts chapter 17 that some believed. And so everywhere Paul goes and his ministry team goes, they preach the gospel, and people are coming to Christ. People are coming to Christ. It is our desire to see you, your family, and this community come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, not everyone here is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, a good number of you are here because someone is, quote unquote, bringing you here. You don't necessarily want to be here, but you're here. You're humoring your wife. You're humoring your husband. You're humoring your boyfriend. You're humoring your parents. But it's not very humorous to you. You're just here and you're listening, and you're dead set on not becoming one of those people. This guy doesn't know I'm going to share this, but I hope he'll forgive me afterwards. But there's a guy in Rondi Gaiman's house church, goes by the name of James, and I won't tell you his last name. He's sitting somewhere in here. I made eye contact with him once. And his wife drug him to Rodney's house church. And he was there for a full year. And Rodney said for the first year he just sat like this. Didn't want to be there, didn't buy into anything. Well, lo and behold, after a while, he came to an understanding of who Christ is, what Christ had done, and his need for Christ. And now James is a follower of Christ and desires to see other people come to know Christ. That's what this is about. And we desire all of you, every single one of you, to come to an understanding that Jesus Christ is not just a good moral teacher. Hey, is he a good moral teacher? What do you think? Of course he's a good moral teacher. And it's not this that he gave a great example of how to love people, because he did give a great example of how to love people. But Jesus Christ in his own words said this, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. That's why he came, to give his life as a ransom for many. That's why he came. He came that he might die, that he might take our sins upon himself, that he might bear the wrath of God, which should be directed at us, but it's received and absorbed by the person of Christ. He rose again from the dead, conquering death, demonstrating that he has the power to forgive sins, and he imputes or grants to us his righteousness. And we come into a relationship with him by grace through faith. Now, so our role in helping you come to Christ is first of all, to preach the gospel. And that's what I do. It doesn't matter what I'm preaching on. Whatever scripture I'm in, eventually I will bring it back around to the cross, because that's what the Bible teaches. You say, well, wait a minute. Now, there's lots of passages that don't talk about what Jesus did on the cross. True, kind of. The Old Testament points everything to Jesus, who will be the Messiah. And then the four Gospels describe the life, ministry, and work of Christ, including his death, burial, and his resurrection. And then everything after the four Gospels points back to the resurrection. So whether you are in Genesis or Revelation, it's always about the person and work of Jesus Christ. Who inspired the Scriptures? It's not a trick question. The Holy Spirit, and the role of the Holy Spirit is to make much of Christ. Whether you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it's always about making much of Christ. And we make much of Christ whenever we realize what he has done on the cross for us and that he has conquered sin, that he has conquered death. That's what this is about. That's what this is about, to help people come to an understanding of that. Now, next fall, in the fall of 2014, we are going to help you bring others in, your family in, or even those of you that are struggling with the tenets of the faith. You don't buy into any of this, but you're here because your parents drag you, or you're here because you're compelled. You're not sure why you're here, but you still don't believe necessarily anything that we're looking at. 2014, we're going to do a series. I haven't settled on the name of the series just yet, but I think it's probably going to be something titled Hard to Believe. Hard to Believe. What we're going to look at is approximately 8 to 10 of the most common objections that people have to, well, this is why I don't believe in Christianity. Things like the existence of suffering. Things like, well, the Bible contradicts science. Things like, how do you can even trust that this old book is even reliable? Things like that. So we'll be very, very focused on apologetics. And not only will we be doing that from the pulpit, we will also be coordinating with house churches and with faith families to construct something that you can do as a faith family to reach people in your communities that are not going to drive to Grace Community Church. A number of house churches are in Cedar Rapids. A number of house churches are in the Kelowna area, even as far south as Washington. And those people, you want to reach them for Christ, but they're not going to drive to church on a Sunday morning, probably. But they might come to your faith family, which is 5 minutes from them, your friends, your neighbors. So we want to be able to equip you, equip all of us, to be able to bring in. So that's something to keep on the radar. But it doesn't end there. Once you are born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus that no one can see the kingdom of heaven unless he is born again from above of the Spirit. Once you're born again, the goal is not to stay an infant in Christ. We're all new creations in Christ, but we're new creations in Christ there to grow up. So the goal is to be built up. And the verse that we read earlier in Colossians, he says, this is what I'm striving towards and laboring towards, to present everyone perfect in Christ. This him we proclaim, that all of you might be presented perfect or mature in Christ. That's the goal. Here in an overview of Paul's journey here, he goes to Corinth in Acts chapter 18. In verse 11, it says that he stayed there for a year and a half. Now, he stayed there for a year and a half preaching the gospel. You're like, seriously? He preached the gospel for a year and a half? How long does it take for these people to get it? Luther was once asked by someone in his congregation. A woman came up to him and says, Pastor, when are you going to move on past the gospel? And he says, when you actually believe it. Okay? You don't grow tired of hearing the gospel. The gospel is not just the ABCs of Christianity. It's the A to Z of Christianity. It not only helps people come to a saving knowledge of Christ, it grows us in Christ. And then in Acts chapter 19, he returns. So he's back in Antioch now. In Acts chapter 19, he goes back to strengthen the churches that he left. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, what you have heard me preach in the presence of many men, teach also to faithful men who can teach others. In other words, Paul discipled Timothy as a young man. He taught Timothy the basic tenets of the faith that Timothy would be able to teach others, and he said, teach others who will then teach others. He multiplied himself. And then in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, he writes Titus and he says, listen, Titus, linking into what I told Timothy, that's actually not found in the verse, but I'm connecting the dots for you, appoint elders in every city. In other words, elders are pastors who teach, who preach, who shepherd, who disciple, and disciple leaders. He says, I want you to appoint men in every city where the gospel has been preached, where they are growing up and being mature, where they have been taught to teach others. Those whose character qualifications meet the qualifications that I've laid out to Timothy elsewhere and also to you, appoint them as elders. In other words, grow up. Grow up in the faith and disciple others. All of us are called to be disciples and also to make disciples. And that's our calling. Another individual who doesn't know that he's a sermon illustration. I don't know if he's in this service or was in the first service, but Tim Stoltz, one of our elders. How many of you know Tim? Okay. I was going to say something snide, but I'm going to hold it back. Tim's a good friend of mine. We just have this relationship where we have to constantly make fun of one another, but I want to be edifying this morning. But before I'm edifying, I'm going to tell you where Tim came from. Tim was raised in a Christian home but rejected all that when he came to college at the University of Iowa in the late 80s where he did his undergrad, early 90s. And then he, in fact, one particular story that I remember him telling me that he woke up under a bush in the Pentecost, didn't know how he got there, made his way back to the dorms, got showered, went to class. And so that was Tim, okay? Tim was not singing in the choir at Grace Community Church or leading people to Jesus or attending Bible studies. But Tim met Don and Stoltz, and they started going to a Bible study. They started coming to Grace. They got married. And Tim has been a part of this church since the mid-90s. And now Tim is one of our elders here at Grace Community Church. So he was the toddler that threw the Cheerios on the floor, which was cute for a time. But it's not cute laying under a bush at the Pentecost. Unless, of course, you're at Podolak, and then I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. So you can be in your 40s and 50s and still sleep in the Pentecost. It's not advisable, especially this time of the year. But few of you are laughing. Some of you are like, Brooks, don't you have any discernment? Very little. Un poco. Just this much. Just this much. The point being, regardless of how dumb you are or were in the past, God can raise you up, grow you in Christ, mature you, teach you, help you become responsible so that you can then lead others. Follow me? So it does not matter how debauched you are. It does not matter how stupid you are or all the mistakes in the past. Paul says, among sinners, I am chief. So even Paul, who was a murderer, is now the apostle. So your past does not define your future because of who Christ is and what Christ has done for you. He desires not only to save you from your sin, but to free you from your sin so that you can grow up and be mature in Christ and help other people walk in Christ. Our desire is to see you become like Christ. Christ-like Christ. To be like him in character, to have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control, to have those, the fruit of the Spirit, but also to adopt his agenda, that his agenda is your agenda, that transfix or set a compass course for your direction in life. And that's the direction that we take as a church. That's also the direction that we take in our small groups, our faith families. Hopefully that's the direction and the compass that guides your nuclear family and even your life as an individual, that you be Christ-like in character and adopt the agenda of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. Now, that requires you and I to believe the gospel. Now, some of you are scratching your head right now. I thought that's how you come to know Christ. Yes, that is how you come to know Christ. But it's also how you come to grow in Christ. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 6. Colossians chapter 6. Paul says, in the same way that you received him, so also grow in him. How did you receive Christ? By grace, through faith, in the finished atoning work of Jesus Christ. How do you grow in Christ? By grace, through faith, in the finished atoning work of Jesus Christ. Too many Christians believe that the gospel is the beginning. That's how I get into the faith, and how I grow in the faith is I do a bunch of stuff. It's not that you're passive and that you don't do anything, but as you the reason you do those things is because you are actively believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because of that tendency that we have to think that the gospel is something that we did when we first became Christians 20 years ago or a year ago, for those of you who have just come to Christ, we are going to, at the finish of the Acts series in February, some of you are like, we're going to be done? Yes, we're going to finish Acts later this month, but in the first part of February, we're going to begin a series in Colossians. And the goal of studying Colossians is to understand how the gospel grows us up in Christ, how the gospel sets us free from the power and the influence of sin, and how the gospel unifies us as a body of believers. So that's how we grow up. We grow up because of the gospel. Understanding the gospel, but here's a little caveat. It's not just that you as an individual and me as an individual grow up in Christ because of the gospel. True statement, that is true, we do. But it's never ever divorced from community. Okay? Each one of you is to receive Christ, but by virtue of the fact that you have received Christ, you have been grafted into the vine. And if you look around on the vine, there's other grapes, right? Unless you're not grafted onto a vine. If you're on a vine, you're going to see other grapes. And we are called to grow up with one another, building into one another. And that means gospel community. When the church was founded in Acts chapter 2, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, and to prayer, and they met together in one another's homes. They built into one another's. All of the commands of scriptures in the New Testament, love one another, forgive with one another, bear with one another, teach one another, admonish one another, encourage one another. All of those one another's, are you ready for a mind blower? Can't happen without one another. So you being here does not necessarily mean that you're connected with anyone else here. I went to a wrestling meet on, Friday night. And I was in solidarity with the Iowa Hawkeye fans as we rooted Iowa to destroy Oklahoma State, which is always a good thing to rub their nose into the mat. But another story, another time. But that's not community. I didn't interact with any of those individuals. I was there as a group cheering. You're here as a group listening and singing, but you're not building into one another. The person on your right or your left, unless it's your spouse or someone very close to you, doesn't know how to encourage you. They don't know what you're struggling with. They don't know your issues. They're not praying for you. We don't know one another. That's why we need, that's why we emphasize house churches or faith families. And not because we want to be in your business, but we want to encourage you to be about the business of building into one another and being built into by one another. There's lots of different ways to get plugged in to a house church or faith family. You can go onto our web and you can click house churches and it says get connected and you can go through it that way. You can go out to the really cool display which fell off the wall 2 weeks ago, which is leaning against the wall. There's a map and there's pins with all these different house churches depending on where they're at. And then there's connection cards with which group is where and what their demographic is like and when they meet and how to get connected with them. But here's the dilemma that we always have at Grace, and I think this is probably true in most churches, is that we have more people that need to be in a faith family than we actually have leaders who are leading faith families that can accommodate the need. So because of that, we are having a house church boot camp. It is January 31st, that's a Friday night, and February 1st, and that will be in the Kelowna area, to build up and train and equip individuals who are interested or potentially thinking, you know what, I might want to someday or I'm ready to right now lead a faith family or start a house church because there's a lot of people in that area that want to get into one that just there's just no room right now. You say, well, I'm from Cedar Rapids and that's too far to drive. We're also going to have one of those in late March, early April, and that will be here on the North Liberty campus. We'll provide that. So whether you're North Liberty, Coralville, Cedar Rapids, and you're thinking, you know what, I think God's calling me, I might want to consider that, or you are already in a house church and you've been co-leading and you're like, you know what, I think it's time for me to step out or our group is going to multiply, that's something that you want to consider. That's when it's something you want to consider. So if you're in the Kelowna area, that is definitively the 31st on a Friday, and then Saturday morning. That's already set up. You can register for that. And if you're not in the Kelowna area, there's one coming up late March and April. These are crucial. These are crucial. We're not meant to grow separately apart from one another. We're meant to build into one another. Biblical community was founded and it just happened. The Holy Spirit set it up, and the reason He set it up is because that's the best environment for the gospel to mature people, is in the context of community. It's also the best environment to see people come to Christ as well. I mentioned James earlier. James didn't start by driving up to North Liberty from Kelowna. Why would he? Let's see, I don't believe in Jesus, so you know what I want to do on a Sunday morning? I think I want to get up at 7 and drive 45 minutes to sit in a church and listen to people sing and then hear a guy drone on for 50 minutes. Why wouldn't I do that on a Sunday? Do you know any non-believers who are doing that right now? The only reason they are is because their wives drug them here, if that's the case. That's not natural. They might come to your house on a Thursday night, though. So whether it's growing people up in the faith or reaching people in your community, the smaller community is the way to do that, the most effective way to do that. It's not the only way, but it is effective. Also, you've heard a lot about biblical counseling here at Grace Community Church. Now, some of you, that freaks you out. Ooh, counseling. I just picture people with tweed jackets with elbow patches and pipes and long notepads and me laying on a couch and talking about how my mother fed me Infamil and I wasn't breastfed and that's the reason I'm all screwed up. That just seems weird and shouldn't take place in a church. That's not biblical counseling. Let me just tell you what biblical counseling is. It's intensive discipleship. It's training individuals to be able to apply the gospel to every single human malady known to man. Bad marriage? Gospel. Addicted to porn? Gospel. Addicted to alcohol? Gospel. Can't get out of bed? Gospel. Broken leg? Go to an orthopedic surgeon. Dealing with suffering because your leg hurts? Gospel. You see how this works? Okay, it's this. Don't be intimidated by the phrase counseling. And our goal is to equip every single house church leader to be a competent pastoral shepherd for their house church people, to help them apply the gospel to all life situations so they can grow up and be mature in Christ. That's why we take a group of 20 people to Lafayette for the Biblical Counseling Conference. That's also why next year, in 2014, we are going to host a Biblical Counseling Conference in which they, from Lafayette, are going to come here and teach so you don't have to drive to Lafayette. So we are serious about equipping everyone here to be able to minister to one another, to help one another, just deal with life's problems and apply the remedy, which is the gospel. My goal is to say gospel as many times as possible in a Sunday morning. So just so you know that. Because that's what changes people, is the gospel. All right. So, moving on. Building up. We've brought in, we've seen people come to Christ, we see people growing up in Christ. To what end? Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18 through 20, the first part of verse 20, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. God did not save you and I from our sin, the penalty and the power of our sin, so we could just simply be edified and be comfortable in this place. The reason he saved us, the reason he's reconciled us, is because he's given us a task, he's given us a gospel, he's given us a message, and he wants us to take that gospel to others who haven't heard that gospel yet. That's it. You got that? There's no other reason for you to be here. Do we want to see the gospel heal your marriage? Of course we do. Of course we do. Do we want people to see become mature in Christ? Of course we do. To what end? That they might make Christ known and that he might be glorified to the ends of the earth. That's the goal. That's the goal. Rob Koshin, many of you know Rob. A few weeks back when John Abramsay from J-Life was here, he interviewed Rob during the second service. How many of you were here for that interview? Okay, Rob's the one who always says, I are a framer. Don't kid yourself, Rob is not as dumb as he tries to make everyone believe that he is. But as Rob came to Christ, he was a Christian in high school, and he came to Christ, and then he came to the university, and he came here to church. He's been here since the late 90s. He said that in that interview, he said his goal was always, he thought his responsibility, he understood this verse, that he's supposed to be a reconciler, help people come to Christ. But the way that he did that, his goal was always to get them to come to the service. He figured if he could get them to sit here, and then Brooks would just preach at them, that they would make the connection, the Holy Spirit, and they, you know, understand the gospel. And that's not a bad strategy, by the way. Encourage you to do that. But Rob said that once the gospel penetrated his heart in terms of its agenda, not just the fact that it saved him, his goal changed. His goal switched from my goal is to get them to come to church with me was to my goal is to get them to go to coffee with me. Do you see the difference? There was ownership. Now he's no longer dependent upon the pastor or one of the elders or someone else. His goal is to get them to go to coffee and open up the word with them. It's come full circle. See how that goes full circle? Being brought into a relationship with Christ, growing up with Christ, and embracing our responsibility and being equipped to share Christ. Bring in, build up, branch out. This is Paul's ministry, or rather the early church, right after Acts 8, when people started spreading out because of persecution. Then Paul takes the gospel in Acts 13 through 15 to eastern and southern Turkey. And then he tries to take it into Asia and Mysia, but the Holy Spirit diverts him, and he takes the gospel into Europe. And then he goes back through Asia, where he was prevented from before, it goes back into Europe again. And then his last missionary journey on the way to Rome, he takes the gospel into Italy. And then you also have James, who writes his letter to the 12 tribes, that is Jewish Christians scattered throughout the Middle East. And then Peter, who writes to these churches, which are scattered throughout northern Turkey. That's what happened in 40 years. The gospel didn't stay in Jerusalem, and the gospel's not to stay in North Liberty. As we grow up in Christ, as we are equipped in Christ, not all of you will be here 10 years from now. Some of you will be pastors, missionaries somewhere else. Some of you will be engineers or doctors somewhere else. But God is going to have you go somewhere else with that gospel to plant the gospel there. That's His agenda. That's the Great Commission. In light of that, we encourage every single person at Grace Community Church to eventually go through the Perspectives course. Starts January 26th. It meets on Sundays. Darn it. Happened last service too. Press that button. Starts at 2 p.m. It goes to 5 p.m. The first class, January 26th. Is an open invitation. You don't have to be registered. You can just show up and kind of preview it and then decide, okay, this is cool. I want to take this, or this is not for me, at least this time. It's our goal that everyone at Grace Community Church eventually someday would take Perspectives. Now, it's not the end all and it's not the be all to understanding the Great Commission and global missions, but it's an excellent, excellent course, and you will be blessed. And again, the goal is not to get you to go somewhere. The goal is for you, for all of us, to understand corporately what the purpose of the church is in a global setting, in terms of the fact that we're not alone here. God wants us to take the gospel to the nations. That means that some of us will go. It means that some of us will stay. But all of us will send. We'll be doing something to further global missions somewhere. Now, we alternate right now between Grace and Parkview. Last year, we hosted it. This year, Parkview hosts it. We're trying to get some other church to chip in and host it as well. So this is not a Grace thing per se, but it's something that we encourage people at Grace to participate in. We also do quarterly mission trips. We have a group that's be returning from Iraq shortly. They're there right now. We have a medical mission team that will be going to Haiti again in the spring during spring break. You can find out more information at the missions booth just as you exit the sanctuary to your left. But that's the reason we do that is to help equip people. It's not just because the people in Haiti need medical care and the gospel. Of course they do. But there's a bigger purpose in all of this, that we as a local congregation might understand that the world is bigger than North Liberty. The world is bigger than Coralville, and the gospel and the need of the gospel is global. And to go on short-term mission trips and to have our eyes open really fuels the preaching of the gospel and the spreading of the gospel here as well as there. So that's the reason why we do that. Just want to encourage you to do that. And again, that scripture, you've seen it. That is, Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against them, but entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. On a macro level, a larger scale, you know, we planted the downtown church, kind of a soft launch. We want to have a year to work out the bugs so we can more effectively reach the campus. 2014 in the fall, we're going to hit the ground running. We're going to canvas the downtown area. Same series, hard to believe, heavily into apologetics to reach people in the downtown area, just like North Liberty, Coralville, and so forth and so on. But that's what we're working on, is getting things shored up there in terms of how things are working there. But there's lots of quote unquote men from Macedonia that are saying, "Come help us." We have a lot of people that drive 30 minutes or more south of Iowa City. We have a lot of people that come even from Marion or even further north. We have people that come from Muscatine. We have people that come from Williamsburg. And some of those people are like, "Hey, when are you going to plant a church in our neck of the woods? Could you come down and help us?" Here's the short answer. Of course we will help. We are called to help preach the gospel, just like Paul went to Macedonia. Now, does that mean that we will plant a church? I had a meeting with Nathan Meyer, who was our worship director for a while. Now he's an engineer back up at Rockwell. And we were talking about this very thing, and he was quoting an author that he read, I thought, and this is a paraphrase of what the guy said. He says, "We're not called to plant churches. We're called to plant the gospel. And when you plant the gospel, churches grow. Maybe." You follow that? If you look at it like, okay, we're going to plant a church, what does that mean? Well, we get a group of people and we're here, have a service, come see us. But if you go to a community and you equip that community to plant the gospel, they as individuals embrace the responsibility to reach their community for Christ. And as they discover that some of them are teachers and some of them are gifted at that, and so, then eventually you have a nucleus and a church springs up. I don't know what that looks like per se in terms of timelines, but we commit as an elder team that we will help you reach your community, because we recognize that all of you sitting out here, some of you come from a lot further away than 10 miles. Here's the deal. I'm going to guess that your neighbors who don't know Jesus, they don't understand the point in driving 60 miles to church. So we want to help you reach your Macedonia. That's what we're called to bring in, to build up, and to branch out. First of all, are you in Christ? That's the starting place. Are you in Christ? As the ushers come forward and the praise team comes forward and we're going to take the offering, if you're not in Christ and you're not a part of Grace Community Church, this offering is not for you to give us your money. We don't need your money. We don't want your money. But Christ desires you. So instead of the envelope with the giving, take out the card that's in front of you. And if you'd like to receive Christ, just check that. And say, I pray to receive Christ today. I want to know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If you're not connected, but you'd like to be connected, and you'd like to get connected with the body of Christ and be involved in a faith family, you can take this and you can also indicate. Put that in the plate. And then also, if you'd like to give towards any one of our vision initiatives, you can do that as well. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, for your mercy. There's someone here this morning who desires to know Christ. I pray that you would draw them to yourself and that they would take the step to just let us know that they desire more information, that they want to receive Christ. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And we just ask, Lord, that Christ would be exalted as we seek to bring in, build up, and to branch out.